Well, good. Well, it's good to be here tonight. It's good to be back. My wife and I, every time we come to visit, we enjoy ourselves. And it's good to be with you again tonight. Me and Brother Brooks do go back a long time. But I tell you, there's nothing I wouldn't do for him. And there's nothing he wouldn't do for me. And we just do nothing together. I do nothing for him. He does nothing for me. No, I appreciate Brother Brooks and his wife and his family serving the Lord and doing what God's called them to do. And it's an encouragement to be able to come back and visit with him and fellowship with him when I can and have a good time together. I'd like to invite you to 1 Peter chapter number 5 tonight, the book of 1 Peter chapter number 5. It's amazing that Brother Brooks would ask us tonight if we love the Lord. I want to say I do love the Lord. And the longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. And I mean that. Tonight I want to be an encouragement to you. The Lord laid a message some time ago on my heart. It's a message I've never heard a preacher preach on. It's a subject that I've never heard yet. And I've heard preachers faithfully since I was 14. I was 14 when we moved and got in church at Landmark. And I've been going to church faithfully since then. And I just turned 62 this month. So I've heard lots of preachers. But tonight I'm going to preach on why I hate the devil and why I love the Lord. I thought about just preaching why I hate the devil, but I don't want to waste a whole sermon on that rascal. I want to give people something to take home with them, something that'll bless them and something that'll help them. And when I tell you tonight why I love the Lord, I believe you'll probably be able to say amen, and I love him for that reason too. So we're going to preach tonight on why I love the Lord and why I hate the devil. Last Sunday night, I celebrated 44 years of preaching the gospel. I surrendered to preach March the 11th, 1979. 4 days after my 18th birthday, I surrendered my life to preach. And God has been good to this preacher, I can tell you that. He's been so good to me and my wife. 1 Peter chapter number 5, and I'd like to begin looking at 1 Peter chapter 5 and looking at verse number 7. Number 7 says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And then he says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil. Notice he says, the devil is our adversary. He's not our friend, and we don't need to live like he's our friend. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Now notice verse 9. This verse surprises people sometimes. Whom resist steadfast in the faith. Did you know you can resist the devil? You can tell the devil to go back to his hell hole where he came from and leave you alone. God gave us the right to resist the devil. He says, resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after ye have suffered a while, make you perfect or mature, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. And God's people said, amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, tonight I want to be a blessing to your people. Lord, as we look at this awful subject of the devil, we're glad tonight that we have the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We're glad that we live by a different standard than the unworld, the unsaved world around us, and that we have a great God that loves us and that cares for us. And Lord, bless the words as we seek to preach tonight on why we hate the devil, but also why we love the Lord Jesus. Lord, we do love you, and we do thank you for who you are and what you've done in our lives. We pray and ask these favors in your holy name. Amen. I was preaching last week, and I made a comment, and the Lord just blessed me, and I was going to wave my hanky. And then I reached in my pocket, and I couldn't find my hanky. I didn't have one to wave. But tonight I got one to show, and I got one to blow. Amen. So I got... I don't use the same hanky for both, amen. But amen. I knew I'd get amen that time. Why do I hate the devil? Well, the devil tonight, the devil's angry. And that's okay, because I'm mad at him. And I mean that sincerely. Sometimes a preacher, when he brings a message, he just has to vent a little bit. And tonight, this is my opportunity to vent a little bit and tell you why I hate the devil. I'm mad at him. He's messing with some of my new converts. And he's gotten my dandruff up. I'm angry. He's angry at me, and I'm angry at him. We used to teach our kids, me and the devil, we agree. I hate him, and he hates me. And that's the way I feel tonight. I hate him. I hate the devil. He's mad at God. He's mad at Christians. And we ought to be mad at him. The devil is powerful. A roaring lion is a powerful animal. Satan has power, but he doesn't have more power than God does, amen. He doesn't have the same power God does. Jesus said, all power is given unto me, Jesus said. He said, all power is given unto me. Satan is limited, and his days are short, and he knows it won't be long. His goose was going to be cooked, amen. He's angry. He's powerful like a lion, and he comes to destroy people's lives. He destroys sometimes Christian lives when they get away from God and they open themselves up to the lure of sin and Satan. He destroys the life of unbelievers. He destroys families. He destroys marriages. He destroys a family as a unit. He is a liar. He is a destroyer. He is a murderer. And I hate him for it. He's powerful. He's searching. He looks out to find Christians who are away from the Lord so he can pull them further in. He's looking for those who are unprotected, like a lion looks for an animal that's injured or slow, and a lion goes after those kinds of animals. Satan is searching. He's searching for Christians where he can destroy their testimony. He's searching for sinners so he can cast them into the lake of fire. He hates God. He hates God's people. And I hate him also. Amen. There's reasons why I hate him. Three reasons tonight why I hate the devil. First of all, because of what my eyes have seen. What my eyes have seen. I have seen what alcoholism does to families. In my own life, my own father, I loved him dearly. And he loved me dearly. But in my own life, my father was an alcoholic. And I saw what alcoholism did to our family. And I don't understand born-again believers that want to play with alcohol. It's like playing with a snake. Leave it alone. Young people, don't ever take a drop of alcohol. Keep that away from you. It will destroy your life. It will destroy families. It destroys relationships. I hate the devil because of what my eyes have seen. I've seen pictures of unborn children that were aborted in the womb. I've seen actual pictures. And when you've seen that, it leaves an impression on your mind. I've seen little skulls, little baby skulls. I've seen little baby hands. And I've seen little baby feet. And I've seen little baby thumbs sticking out. And they say that baby is not a baby. It's just some kind of blob. No, sir. A baby in the womb is a baby. It is a child. And God hates it when people kill little babies. I've seen pictures of the unborn that their life was taken on the altar of a woman's right to choose. I'm not against women who have abortion. I'm against abortion. I'm not against the women. God loves them. And he wants to save them. And he will forgive them. But I'm against abortion. The slaying of the unborn. The Bible says God told Jeremiah, he said, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee." People say, when does life appear? It appears before conception. God looks ahead of time and he sees that little baby before he's even formed in the womb. God sees beyond what we're able to see. I've seen that and I hate the devil for it. I've seen kids without moms and dads because of drugs and alcohol. I've seen Christians who at one time loved the Lord and served the Lord. I've seen them get out of fellowship with God. I've seen them as they rebelled against everything they knew and everything that they held dear to their life. I've seen them as they have rebelled against God. And I hate the devil for it. Christians quit serving God. I see an ungodly government system that we have today. I never thought in my lifetime we would have to discuss which bathroom a child uses. Hey, listen, it's simple. Boys go to the boys' room. Girls go to the girls' room. And if there's somebody that doesn't know where to go, we need another bathroom with a question mark. And you can go in that one if you want to. Amen. I never thought I would ever see, Brother Brooks, when I started preaching, I never thought I'd see what we see in our government tonight. I never thought I would see in our government leaders who were not patriotic. Leaders who do not love America and they're willing to even tell you they don't love America. They say that we are a bunch of racists, that we're a bunch of white supremacists, and they do not love America. And my friend, I do love America. And I don't care what the world says, and I don't care what our government system says. There is a nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And I'm going to preach the word of God until hell freezes over. If this country gets where it is a crime to preach this book, I'm going to keep preaching this book. If it comes to a time that it's a crime to read this word, I'm going to keep reading this word. If it comes to a time that it's illegal to share the gospel, I'm going to keep sharing the gospel until Jesus comes. I hate the devil. I hate him because of what my eyes have seen. I also hate him because of what my ears have heard. I've heard the lies of the devil. The devil lies all the time. Did you know that? Have you ever wondered what it is when maybe a preacher comes to you and says, "Brother so-and-so or sister, I need your help, and can I have you help me?" And the first thing the devil does is he says, "You can't help anybody. You're not worthy to serve the Lord." The devil says, "You're not worthy. You're not fit. They don't need you. You're insignificant. You don't really matter." Guess what, my friend? That's the devil lying to you. He's a liar. You go through heartaches. What does the devil say? Yeah, you're trying to serve God and going through a hard time. God doesn't care where you're at. God doesn't care what you're going through. God doesn't know what you're going through. Hey, listen, my friend. The devil is a liar. When you and I go into the fiery trials of life, Jesus is already there, and he'll carry us through the other side. I know what the devil says. He's a liar. I've seen the strife and the division among Christians. I've seen and heard the lies that he gives to people all the time, and that he gives to me. Satan lied to Eve. He said, "God's holding out on you." He says, "God knows that if you partake of this fruit, you'll be wise as God. That's what you need. God is holding out on you." The devil tells young people that. Oh, listen, you want to have fun. God doesn't want you to have fun. God is holding out on you. You shouldn't listen to your parents. You shouldn't listen to the Bible and the preacher. You shouldn't listen to anybody. Go ahead and do it. Go ahead and have fun. Listen, the devil's a liar. He's a liar. Our world, our country is filled with people in jail tonight that they just knew what they were doing would make them happy. And where are they at? They're in jail paying the price for what they did. Satan's a liar. But I also hate him, not only because what my eyes have seen and what my ears have heard, but I hate him because of eternity. Eternity. People, we're going to live forever. Every one of us are going to live forever, either in heaven or in hell. The Bible makes that clear. I know religion today scoffs at the idea of a hell. But my friend, the Bible says that hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. It wasn't even prepared for mankind. But mankind, the only way they can go to hell is to trip over Jesus Christ, to walk over Jesus Christ. The Lord did everything He could to keep us out of hell. He's done everything. All we have to do is say yes to Jesus. And we don't have to go to hell. That's the good news about hell, is you don't have to go. If you go, you're cheating. If you go, you're breaking into it. And who in their right mind would want to break into hell? Who would want to do that? I hate the devil because of eternity. The Bible talks about everlasting fire. The Bible talks about a fire and brimstone. The Bible talks about a lake of fire. And I've got good news tonight. The Bible says Satan's going there. Amen. He's going there. In Revelation chapter 20 and verse number 10, the Bible says that God is going to cast Satan into hell with the false prophet and with the Antichrist, that Satan and the demons of hell is going to be there forever and ever. And while he's burning, I'm going to be blessing God. Hallelujah. One of these days, Satan will meet his Waterloo. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm glad there's coming a day when Satan will be finally cast into the lake of fire. But I don't want to leave tonight. There tonight. I want to also let us think about, why do I love the Lord? Why do you love the Lord tonight? Think about it for just a moment. Do you love the Lord tonight? Amen. Well, I love Him because He loves me. If He didn't love me, I'd never know how to love Him. If He didn't love me, I'd never heard the preaching of the Word of God. If He hadn't have died for my sin, then there'd be no hope for me. I love Him because He loved me and loves me. He loved me, He loves me, and He will always love me. Amen. It's not like the little boy with his girlfriend. He had a flower, and he started pulling off the petals and said, "She loves me. She loves me not. She loves me. She loves me not. She loves me." And then there's only one left. And he said, "She loves me." Hey, listen. The Lord loves you tonight. He does care when you go through heartache. He does care when the trials of life afflict you. He's with you. He will be with you throughout those trials. But I also love Him tonight because He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy of my praise. Amen. He's worthy of my praise. I love Him because He's worthy. And let me just get back on the devil for just a moment again and say that I hate him. I despise him. He's trash under my feet. He's garbage. When he's frying in hell, I'm going to be praising God. I despise him. Hallelujah. But I love the Lord. He's my Savior. He's my King. He's my God. Hey, I know who the King is. And it's not Elvis. It's the Lord. Amen. It's not Rodney King. It's not Martin Luther King or King Cole or King whatever. But it's King Jesus. He is my King. And He's my God. And He's my Savior. He is. I love Him. Because He is my Redeemer. He's my very best friend. I can tell the Lord things that I can't tell anybody else. I have a relationship with the God of heaven. My relationship is not here. but it's right here. It's in my heart. I have a heart relationship with Jesus Christ. A preacher years ago, an old man of God was asked, said, "Preacher, what is the greatest truth you have ever learned from the Bible?" And the preacher tears began to brim in his eyes. And he said, "The greatest truth I've ever heard is Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so." That is the greatest truth you'll ever hear. And when that gets into your heart, it'll do something for you, amen? It'll do something for you when that gets in your heart. I love the Lord because He saved me. When I was 11 years old in the 56th Missionary Baptist Church, I went to a revival. My cousin, who was older, she drove. And she drove the car down and picked me and my brother up. And we went to revival every night. And I think it was the last night of the revival. The preacher gave the invitation. An 11-year-old boy, me and my brother Terry, a year older than me, we walked down the altar. We walked down the aisle and we laid down at the altar and cried unto God. And God saved us. And God gave us eternal life. And now our sins are washed away. And now we have the Holy Spirit of God. We have the blood of Christ that cleanses us from all sin. We have a God that hears our prayers. We have a God that goes through with us when we go through the trials. We have a Savior who's with us, who will never forsake us. That's why I love Him tonight. I love Him. He's called me to preach His Word. 44 years ago, last week, God called me to preach. I walked down the aisle and I said, "Brother Brown, I don't understand, but God's called me to preach." He said, "I don't understand either." No, he didn't say that. He probably thought it. You know, Brother Brown. He probably thought that, but he didn't say that. But the Lord called me. He's my shepherd. He's my provider. He is always kind and gracious and loving and merciful. He's my shield. He's my high tower. He is altogether lovely. There's no one like Jesus. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. Lord, I love you tonight. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to preach tonight. Lord, I thank you. You reached down and called an 18-year-old boy to preach. Lord, I thank you for the souls I've seen saved. Lord, I thank you for the marriages that came back together. Lord, I thank you for the ones that have written and called and told me what a help I was to their lives. Lord, I love you tonight. I love you with all of my heart, and I worship you and I adore you because you're altogether worthy of all. I didn't come tonight to be dignified. I came tonight to tell you why I hate the devil and why I love him, the Lord. I love the Lord, and he loves me. I tell you what, Brother Brooks, it amazes me that God can love us knowing before we do it. God knows what we're going to do ahead of time. And yet he still loves us. If it had been me, I probably would have given up. But God doesn't give up with us. He doesn't give up. Oh, Peter. Peter was said that he would die for the Lord. And you know the story how that he denied the Lord three times. And it broke Peter's heart. But the Lord loved him, and the Lord lifted him up. And on the day of Pentecost, he stood with the power of God, and he stood with Almighty God behind him, and he preached, and thousands got saved. The Lord loves us. He loves us on our best day. He loves us on our worst day. He loves us when we're all what we want to be for him. And he loves us when we disappoint him. I'd like to close with this illustration. I remember my grandpa's in 56. Grandpa Zinn and Grandma, they always told me, they said, don't chase the chickens. But I love to chase those chickens. I enjoyed chasing them. And what I like to do is catch them, and I'd climb up on the barn and throw them off the barn and watch them flop and try to fly. Chickens can't fly, but I love to see them try to fly. Well, we was outside playing. We got bored. You know what we did? We went and found us a chicken. We climbed up the barn, took the chicken, threw him off, watched her flop, the hen. My grandpa, he says, boys, he said, I told you, leave those chickens alone. He turned his back, and he walked away, and we had one more chicken. So we took the one more chicken. We threw him down. She flopped. And my grandpa pulled back and looked at me. And you could see the hurt in his eyes. And he said, son, I told you to leave those chickens alone. And I broke my grandfather's heart. I tell you, you'll never know how much that hurt me. It was like being slapped upside the head. It was worse than any whipping I could ever receive. My grandfather did not whip me, but he was disappointed. I broke his heart. When I climbed down from that barn, I went out in the field and I bawled like a baby. I bawled and squalled like a baby. When I got done crying, I went in the house. And I put my arm around my grandfather. And I said, Grandpa, I said, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I didn't do what you said. And as far as I know, that was the last time I ever chased a chicken. That look in his eyes was like the Holy Spirit does to us. When we fail the Lord, and we fail the Lord, and we fail the Lord, and the Holy Spirit says, don't do that. And we grieve. We grieve the Holy Spirit. Grieve is a love term. You can only grieve somebody you love. Think about that. You can only grieve. You can make people mad, and you can hurt people's feelings. But the only person that you're going to grieve is somebody that loves you. And we grieve the Lord. And Lord, I'm thankful that though there are times in my life I grieve you, that you still love me. And I'm still one of your own. And I'm going to one day be just like him. Amen. One of these days, I'm going to be just like him. Oh, yeah, the best is yet to come. God's done some great things in my life in the last 44 years, or more than that, 50-something years, or 50 years being saved. I've been saved 50 years. God's done a lot of great things in those 50 years, but I'm looking forward to seeing what he's got left and what he's going to do. The best is yet to come. Let's bow our heads, please. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. I'd like to ask someone to come and play the instrument, if they will, and I'll turn the invitation over to the pastor. But tonight, if you want to spend some time with the Lord, just maybe you want to come and just tell the Lord, Lord, I love you, and this is why I love you. And just have a love love fellowship with the Lord. Hate the devil, my friend, child of God. Hate the devil. Despise him. Loathe him. Don't ever get on his side. Don't ever follow him. Don't ever allow him to influence the way you live your life. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would minister to every heart and to every life. And we ask these favors in your holy name. Amen.